Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey folks, this is Jason Lewis, the producer of the From the Shadows podcast. I just want to remind you about our website, fromtheshadowspodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. We would appreciate it if you like and follow. Also, join our discussion group on Facebook called After the Shadows. We have a Twitter feed. Please follow us on Twitter. It can be found with @podcast_from. Follow us on Instagram at From the Shadows Podcast. We have a YouTube channel. Go to the search bar of YouTube and put From the Shadows Podcast, and please subscribe to that channel. We are also on the Odyssey Radio Network, and we can be found there at odyssey1.com. We're still on the traditional podcatchers that everybody loves to listen to us on. We get a lot of feedback, so please rate the podcast and communicate with whether you're on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or Google Podcasts. We're there, and we appreciate it when you leave comments for us. We also have a Patreon page. It can be found at www.patreon.com/from the shadows. You can receive books, stickers, coffee mugs, and special content just for our Patreon subscribers. Check it out for yourself and see what packages that we have to offer. Well, that's all I have for you right now, folks. And thanks for being a part of the From the Shadows podcast family. So with that being said, let's get this episode started.
So how last week we segued into the turkey story and talking about game wardens.
That's right.
And and we did, and then we got to talking in between about how serious game wardens get.
Yes, they are.
And so it reminded me of a story. Like, so my stepdad and, you know, they have a sizable farm, lots of places to hunt. And then they have permission to hunt as it is, you know, out in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know how the country works.
This section, that section. But every once in a while, there's a section where you don't have permission to, where somebody's just, you can't kill a deer. Oh my God, it's Bambi, you know, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But somehow they're the people that never actually hit a deer with their car, so they don't care if any of them get killed. Anyway, so as it goes, my stepdad and the guys he's hunting with a couple years ago shoot a deer, and it runs off into some property that they're not allowed to go into, okay? But they got to get this deer, you know? And so I can't remember exactly if they went onto the property, because it was just barely onto the property, okay? But anyway, the sheriff ends up getting called, or the game, I think it's the game warden gets called, comes out, writes him a ticket for trespassing or hunting mm-hmm. without permission or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my stepdad's, they're fear, like, it's bull crap. They're not going to, they're going to go to court. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Because, yeah.
So lo and behold, he gets in the court, and the judge's brother is the other judge here. So the judge on the podcast, his brother is one of the other judges in Crawford County. And he, my stepdad goes in there and he thinks I know the judge. It should go really well. And he says, I'm standing there. Next thing I know, he just throws the book at me. Huge fine, suspends my license, just throws is kind of like mean to me, in the courtroom. And he goes, I've known him forever. And he goes, I kind of thought, maybe I'd get a, mm-hmm. get a. And so he goes out afterwards, like, stunned, and he's like, well, I'm going to have to pay this. And he gets up to the window and to the clerk or whatever. He's like, okay, well, I gotta pay this fine. And clerk's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, he just suspended this, and I gotta pay this. And he said, the clerk looked at him and goes, he told me to tell you he was just kidding. He dismissed all the charges. So he let him think to just yank his chain that he was throwing the book at him, and he gets out there and he goes, I don't know. He goes, I didn't know whether to walk back in there and give him some crap or just be happy that he dismissed everything.
Probably not say nothing. this ain't the game warden story I'm going to tell, but this ain't the one I was going to tell, but this is the one I'm going to tell now. When I was a young trooper, I lucked out and got assigned to an investigation unit at headquarters. Right. So when I got in there, there was one captain, two lieutenants, I think 11 sergeants, one corporal, and one trooper, and that was me. Right. Yeah. So you had to have some, and I could tell a great story about how I got there. But anyway, I ended up getting there. And in the process, one day, as I'm getting introduced to everybody, I knew a couple old sergeants there, but I didn't know everybody. As I'm getting introduced, one of them says, hey, you, what zone do you work in? So I just come from the lake. And he said, oh, you ever do any fishing? You know where the fishing's at? And I said, oh, man, I fish all the time. I got a boat in my yard. What are you talking about? Well, you need to take me crappie fishing down there. I said, well, anytime you want to go, man, we'll go. So springtime come around, and he asked one day, he says, hey, crappie are supposed to be hitting down there at the lake. You want to go? And I said, we won't go on the lake. We'll go on the river below the dam. And I said, you want to take my boat or yours? And he said, well, I know mine's better than yours. So we fly to town. And then for some reason, I think it was a state holiday. So we go down there and we put in, and there's 17, 18 boats in the water. It gets real busy, especially on a state holiday, because everybody's off work, right? Or a lot of people work off work.
Yeah.
And they put, and now they got a stand back because 9/11, which I don't understand what 9/11's got to do with protecting a concrete dam. But anyway, you could get within 50 yards of it, I think. Right. So we get over there to the 50 yard mark, and there's at least a dozen boats over there along the dam. I mean, 6 feet away fishing. So back in the old days, they just did toot a horn, or they would holler at you and tell you to get away from the dam or whatever, right?
So I guess.
Me and him start.
Huh? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Basically, what happens? Me and him. He's running the trolling motor. Me and him start catching fish. These guys are catching all these fish up by the dam, but we ain't catching nothing. So he kind of starts creeping up to this dam, and as we creep up by the dam, we start catching fish. And I mean, every time you get near the water, you're catching a fish. And we're reeling them in and telling stories or whatever. And all of a sudden, and you know what's funny is when you listen, and then the cops that listen will know what I'm talking about. When you sit in that cop car and you got six or seven, you got a scanner going, it's listening to the police, the fire, maybe two or three police and fires, you know what I mean? Multiple districts, plus you got you, like, you know what I mean? You got all this stuff, and you get conditioned just like when you're a parent, you know when that's your baby crying, right? Or, you know, you can have all this noise going along, but when that baby cries, you hear it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, I got you.
So all of a sudden, I heard, like, radio crackle. And then the dispatcher voice said, I don't remember what number, you know, 121 or 1142 or whatever. Can you meet? They had, you know, 152, I think, is the kid that did, works it now, you know, the game warden's number. She says, can you back up 152, which is game warden, at the dam? He's going to go out with a couple guys in a boat, and one of them has a Glock. And that's what that came over the scanner. I mean, I could hear it. And I look around, and by the time I look around, and now I got a Glock underneath my.
And they're talking about you.
Yeah, because I got my duty pistol underneath my T-shirt. And this guy yells from the catwalk. He had walked out on the catwalk on this dam, and he goes, you two in that boat. And we, of course, we look around, and there's no other boats. There's no, all these guys, like the locals, they talked amongst themselves. They got like a signal. They got like a signal group, you know, because there's guys over by the ramp. And when they see the game warden pull up, I don't know, they burn a tire or they yell or whatever. So they all get out of there. And it's just me and Terry. That's the dude I'm fishing with. We're just sitting over the dam. And he yells down from his catwalk. He says, you two, go over to that ramp and wait for my arrival. I've already got your boat number. I mean, he sounds real shitty, really. You know, I've already got your boat number, so don't try to run or something. I mean, real mean like that. So, you know, I'm fishing with a sergeant. He's reeling, he's reeling. He goes, man, that guy's serious. I said, yeah, I guess he is. I guess we got too close to the dam. And he says, you know him? And I said, I don't know anybody down here. He goes, dude, you work down here. And I said, well, yeah, but I didn't jack around with the game warden, really. You know, I was, you know, doing other stuff. The game warden I was buddies with is old, which... he's got another game warden story that I meant to tell. So we go over and park at the dam, pull up in this bass boat up at the dam, and we're sitting there. And here this dude comes, and there's probably half of those boats are in different places tied up. You know, people watching. There's a dozen dudes up at this ramp watching us. And this guy pulls this conservation truck right down to the edge of the water, down the boat ramp, noses, you know, turns his wheels toward the curb and pulls up against the boat ramp and gets out. He's got this ticket book thing, and he was walking over to us, and in that space from there to here, so he looks at me. He gets about 6 or 8 feet from me. He goes, where do I know you from? To me. Doesn't mention my Glock. Doesn't mention anything. Where do I know you from? Well, I said, we were in the academy. The troopers were all on the third floor. And the game wardens were on the bottom floor. We were in the academy at the same time. They're two different academies. They treat us like shit, and they treat those guys like golden calves. But I said, we were in the academy. He goes, oh, man, that's right. He goes, I figured, because, and this is 20 years ago, before everybody started carrying Glocks, 25 years ago. Now, you know, because 25 years ago, Glocks were very rare and very expensive, and only people had them were the cops. So he said, well, I saw it. So he gets on his lapel mic, and he tells whatever cops are coming to back him up that he's okay. And he whips out his ticket book and he says, give me your license. And I pull up my license, and he's looking at me and looking at Terry, and he goes, whatever you do when you leave here, everybody that asks you, tell them you got a ticket. Because he said, I wrote half that freaking parking lot up for tickets. So he gets my license, gets Terry's license, go through this whole rigmarole, man.
Just to make it look good.
Oh, tells me to sit inside, passenger side of his truck, so I got to get in his game warden truck. Yeah, goes through this whole thing and let just me go.
Just to make it look good.
Just to make it look right. Just to make it look real. Because see, and there was a, this is the problem, and this is another story I really shouldn't tell. Shortly thereafter, I had a classmate of mine, has his family's like you, his family's got a couple thousand acres down south central Missouri, and they have a deer camp, and party hunting's not legal in Missouri, which means you can only shoot your own deer with your and tag it with your tag. And yeah, and the conservation agent pulled up in this deer camp where he knew this big farm where this guy's, you know, one son was a trooper, another son was a deputy. The guy, you know, one of the guys that hunts there is the is literally an assistant prosecutor. You know, the judge is liable to be there. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And there was a deer, a doe deer without a tag. And this is a time when you could shoot up to, you know, like right now, my son could shoot five does if he wants. I could shoot five does. I could shoot all, everybody in my family here, five, could shoot five does. We could kill 25 does if we wanted to. And we paid the $7 for the doe tag, right? So I'm not saying it's not much of a violation, but it's not like it was 50 years ago, right? When a lot of these laws were in place. So he gets into it with these off-duty cops about this doe, about this deer. So finally, my classmate steps up and says, if you want to write somebody a ticket, just write me an effing ticket. And this game warden says, well, in that case, and he has more words. Yeah, if you're going to be that, I'll write you a ticket right now. So he says, have at it. So he wrote that trooper a ticket, right? And that was on opening, I think it was a Saturday open morning. It was open weekend, either Saturday or Sunday. But by Tuesday, they had the director of the Conservation Commission down there with the captain of that troop, because they had, the troopers down there had wrote 9 or 11 game wardens tickets the first 48 hours after that.
For speeding, illegal park. Speeding.
Yeah, that's right. For, you know, they're always sneaking around. They'll pull over and hide. You know, there's one down here that watches when they're snagging open. He parks on a bridge on a U.S. highway with no lights on because he's got his binoculars out to look at somebody fishing. And they went to war with the wrong dudes, so they had to calm it down. So the only other one,
Oh, that's funny.
The only other one I got better than that. I don't even know how we're getting off subject because I still haven't told the Bigfoot story.
Well, you'll have to save the Bigfoot story because we'll let our listeners know that that next week will probably be a first of two parts with actor Tim Loveless. And I
that's
think
right. Hey,
you could tell the Bigfoot story because he's got a story. I think
let me tell you, he's going to love it. He's going to love it.
All right.
I'm going to finish with the
We'll save the Bigfoot stories.
Save the Bigfoot story for the Loveless special.
For the right before Halloween. We'll save that for the Wednesday Halloween.
I saw a second iteration of Ticket Wars at the courthouse there in Jeff City, Missouri, which is the state capital. And the courthouse and the capital are a couple blocks away. And you just can't imagine some days all the law enforcement there, right? You just can't even imagine it. So the governor's security, all these guys got unmarked cars. That, you know, two blocks away in the middle of all this, there's the FBI building, a secret FBI building that's got houses the DEA and the U.S. Marshals. And there's just – so there's all these – cop cars, and a lot of them are unmarked cop cars, right? Well, I started my career there at the sheriff's office, and there's four or five places all that says sheriff's parking only, right? So I had and what happens is on court day, and the judge will know this, on court day there might be 20 damn cops there, so they're parked everywhere, right? Just parked everywhere. So the ticket enforcement people started writing, it started with warnings. They started writing warnings on if your meter was expired. So you could have a full marked cop car parked at the courthouse, but if the meter's expired, it started with warnings and ended up with they were starting to write tickets. Like she tagged my car one day. I had an unmarked Crown Vic that said 1-800-POLICE on it, you know. I mean, it was a four-door Crown Vic with three dick antennas. I mean, they looked in a spotlight. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, Sigmund Freud.
Who's Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And she dinged me with this thing that said I was parked in the sheriff's spot because it says sheriff cars only. So I drove down to the police department. I walked in and got this meter made, and I said, how'd you write me this ticket? I got a cop car. Yeah, but you're not a sheriff's cop car. And I said, do what? You're not a sheriff's cop car. So I drove back up, knocked on the sheriff's door. Come on in, bud. What do you need? Go tell that meter maid I got permission to park in your parking spot so she'll void this ticket. Now, the thing about writing the cop cars, too, is, and I think this is, she figured it didn't care because it's not like the car's registered to me, right? So she can't even enter it into the computer because it's not on files what they come back is back in them days. So the sheriff's got to pick up the phone in between menthol cigarettes and say, hey, there's John over here. You need to get don't let my boy go. He can park in my spot. So she got mad at that. And later that day or the next day, I think we had court on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I think that was a Tuesday. On Thursday, she went down and wrote the whole line, like 15 of them in a row.
Expired. Oh,
huh?
Oh, gosh.
Expired, you know, trooper parked in the sheriff's spot, you know, just whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever. You know, like a whole block and a half of city tickets. And the last one was a guy, and I can't mention his name here because he's a captain now, but at that time he was a traffic officer at the police department. And he walked out there and got the one off of his window and jumped in that car and started driving down the street, and she was just, you know, a couple blocks away, still writing tickets or checking. You know how they do. You work in town.
Yeah.
And he lit her up, walked up there and asked her, she's in one of them three-wheel Cushmans. Well, in the state of Missouri, if it ain't got four wheels, you need a motorcycle license. Three-wheelers and two-wheelers need a motorcycle license. Okay. He arrested her for not having a motorcycle endorsement, took her down to PD and booked her. And then the city administrator, all these people, you know, she's been down there bawling her head off because the city administrator, you know, comes out, the city administrator, these people pressured her, you know, because there's always these little, you know, I used to call them dick stretching contests, but I don't know if my audience will appreciate that. But, you know, like the administrator's into it with the police department because their budget's too big or,
oh,
you
yeah, know, everybody's got
too much.
Yeah.
Huh?
Everybody's got an axe to grind and they're mad at the other guy. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And she was just a useful idiot. And so then they had to go down and talk to the chief, and all these people got a big meeting and said, hey, we're going to start leaving y'all alone. Okay.
God. Oh, you gotta love it. Small town.
Yeah, you can't even make it up. You know, so when people tell me, so, and I don't hear cop stories anymore because I've been gone so long. Well, you know, I went back to my high school for homecoming the other day. It's a long story. I haven't been to a high school football game since 1992 or 1993. And I went back to my high school, and then they built a new high school. They built a new football stadium. It's so big and spread out now. They have a shuttle bus that goes from the stadium out into the parking lot. Does that make sense? The parking lot at the school, the stadium was full, so we had to park at the high school, and there's a shuttle bus. So to make a long story short, I got two of my kids with me, and it's like, do we want to walk a half a mile like we did coming in? Let's take the shuttle bus. So we get in this shuttle bus, and as I'm getting on the bus, I know the driver, but I can't. He's about 4 or 5 years older than me, but I can think of his first name, but I can't think of his last name. I mean, I knew his initials, but I thought he was a Cleal and he was a Clee Thermos, or vice versa. It don't matter. I get on this bus. When I go to get off the bus, I turn around and I as I'm walking down the stairs, I'm the last person on the bus. I turn around and said, are you a Cleal? And he said, no, I'm a Clee Thermos. But he said, I can't think of who you are. And I told him who I am. And he goes, you still at the sheriff's office? I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't been there since 1995.
Well, time flies, man.
And I said, no, I just retired. And then he tried to recruit me to drive the bus. And that was a big, and I stood and talked to him because I kept threatening my daughter and my older son that I was going to drive the bus and go to all their games. And they was like, no, man, you're not doing anything like that. So, but what people do is they tell me stories about what jerks, you know, had a jerk cop, right? Write him a ticket. I know it happens because even the cops get jerked around by jerks sometimes. It just happens. Right?
Listen, you're right, though. You can't make that sort of stuff up.
No, it's a real deal. Mm-hmm. It's a real deal.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time. Never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.